Our last case this morning is, if I pronounce this right, Sacco versus Sacco Batista. And as all parties are aware, the respondent did not file a brief in this case. So appellant will simply be giving a 15-minute argument, and there will obviously be no rebuttal because there is no respondent making an argument. So counsel, whenever you're ready, this is A23-0622. Again, I hope I pronounced this right, Sacco versus Sacco Batista. So counsel, whenever you're ready, just approach the microphone. You can move it, the podium to your level and adjust the microphone, and just begin by telling us who you are in a loud, clear voice, please. And we apologize for keeping you waiting well beyond your time. As you can see, this was just the perfect calendar for the eve of Christmas.
No worries, Your Honor. Nice name. May it please the court. My name is Francis Herbert White III. I'm here on behalf of the appellant, Mr. Christian Sacco. The matter before the court is a question of whether or not the district court in Hennepin County made a decision that is supported by the record in both whether in denying an annulment and in the decision to determine that two cats were the non-marital property of the respondent. As I was leaving the house this morning, I said goodbye to my wife, and I explained this case to her, and it came to me then that that is what the roadmap for this case actually is. When I told her that the respondent had not filed a brief and that this was essentially, from their perspective, uncontested, she said, "Why is it that some people can just do nothing and get away with it?" And I explained to her the difference between what happens in the district court and what happens at the appellate level. And I said to her that at the appellate level, you are arguing against the status quo. And that is exactly what has happened in this case. I'm going to start with the cats, because the cats are illustrative, and that's how I started this in the district court. I was arguing against the status quo in the district court. I was arguing against the status quo in the district court for two reasons. The first reason was because the respondent was already in possession of the cats, and possession is supposedly, at least colloquially, 9/10 of the law. The other reason that I was arguing against the status quo was that a temporary order had already been issued in this matter. And a temporary order had been issued by Judge Cutter, I believe it was, the 7th of September in 2021, where she made a determination that the cats would be in the temporary custody of the respondent. She made credibility determinations alone on affidavits that were submitted by both parties that were not tested in an evidentiary setting. Cats, legally, like dogs or horses, are no different than this pen. They're property. You can't cut them in half like you could this pen and divide it between the parties. But the court should look at that property no differently than it would look at any other piece of property. The determination that the cats belonged to the respondent was made solely based on the credibility of the evidence that was presented both to Judge Cutter and then later to Judge Corey. Judge Corey, in this circumstance, at least had the benefit of testimony. Unfortunately, Judge Corey arrived at the wrong decision in her determination of the ownership of the cats.
Well, we'll see.
This is my opinion, of course, Your Honor.
So, I mean, Isn't the problem with your argument, Mr. White, is that, you know, there's a fairly strong presumption that the cats were non-marital property because they were given as a gift several years prior to the marriage between your client and the respondent?
That would be a problem, Your Honor, and you're absolutely right. But
how would you like us to surmount that problem?
Well, Your Honor, for one thing, I would like you to look at the record.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay, and for another thing, I would like you to enter into a realm which you said is very difficult for an appellate court to do, and that is the realm of common sense.
Okay.
Okay, if we look at the record, and by the record, I'm talking about that which is found in the transcript in the exhibits that were submitted there to it. The respondent maintained that these cats were gifts to her. Okay? That was her position basically throughout this entire proceeding. However, that the information, the evidence that was adduced in the record during the trial, if we turn to the transcript and specifically page 30, I introduced and queried Mr. Sacco over the ownership of the cats. And he had a Facebook communication which took place with the respondent in this matter on August 13th of 2018, which is 2 years after she claims the cats were given to her. Now, Exhibit 4, which is what is in that the crux of that Facebook conversation, discusses how the petitioner, and here the appellant, maintained that those cats were, while in her possession, did not actually belong to her. The court in
so just so I was curious, so now this is what respondent is saying, or this is what your client is saying she said?
This is what my client and her had in a Facebook conversation. So my client stated in Exhibit 4 of the Facebook conversation, stated when she said, "You need to get a pet," he said, quote, "I already have two, Jean and Spots," the two cats in question. But they are with you. So he was maintaining that he had a possessory interest in that. Later on, during cross-examination of the respondent.
Did she respond to that statement and say, "You're right," or did, what happened then? So he says, "I have two cats." She says,
She said, "You should get a pet." And he said, "I already have two, but they are with you." She basically ignored that statement.
But we're reviewing court. Mm-hmm. And court specifically decided that Batista's testimony was more credible than his relative to the cat. Don't we defer to the district court on that?
Yes, you do, when it's supported by the record, Your Honor. And I don't think it's...
Then why have you even brought it up as an appeal issue? I mean, because there's not much we can do if there's support in the record.
Because I don't think that the record supports that. In fact, I think the record supports the exact opposite conclusion.
Well, except if she says they're a gift and she left and brought them with her, thinking they're her cats, the court decided, hey, I think they were a gift.
The district court erred in assigning to her credibility that was undeserved.
Okay, because so you do want us to contest the credibility.
Absolutely, absolutely.
We don't review. We defer to credibility determinations, and the fact that there may have been a different decision by the district court is immaterial to us on appeal, so long as the record supports it. And if she testified, she stated, if she averred that they were a gift, and the district court believed her, I'm not sure there's much else we can do at this point.
I think that the record doesn't support that, Your Honor. I think what it comes down to is if you look on the transcript on page 9, or excuse me, 109, page 109, under cross-examination, I asked the respondent When you moved to Mexico, did you take the cats with you immediately? She said, no. And I asked, why not? Because he told me that he was going to keep the cats on, or rather, he yelled at me that he was going to keep the cats. So at that point in time, he was exercising a possessory and ownership interest in the cats, which is the question I ask, to which she concluded, yes, he did. Yes, he did. So in the same transcript, she says, he gave me the cats in 2016, but acknowledged that he was claiming he owned them in 2018 and did not take the cats with her. He kept the cats there. The appellant's mother additionally testified that the cats remained there.
Well, the court heard all this, and the court weighed the evidence, because there's evidence on her side too, right?
The evidence on her side is what is in the record as well,
and the court weighed it, and he made the credibility determinations, and he decided that it was a gift. But on review, we can't reweigh the evidence, right?
I'm not asking you to reweigh the evidence, Your Honor. I'm absolutely not asking you to do that. I do understand that the role of this court and both of the previous cases that appeared before you, you made that very clear, and I knew that before. What I'm asking the court to do is I'm asking a court to look at the record and see in the record that the court's determination that she owned the cats is unsupported by the record because she is not credible. Nothing of what she said in this regard is credible. And the witness that she brought up in this matter testify that he did not... could have had the cats in the apartment is similarly not credible, because he claimed to have been solely in a platonic relationship, but over the objection of counsel, he admitted that he actually had engaged in sexual intercourse with the respondent while they were engaged.
Did she give the cats back to your client when she went to Mexico?
The cats were never in her sole possession until after she moved to Mexico. The parties lived together, and then when she lost her case in front of the immigration court, because she had claimed to be an American citizen, but she lost her case in front of the immigration court. That is also in the record that she lost that case. She testified to that. When she lost that, she moved back to Mexico.
And then where were the cats then?
The cats remained with the appellant.
Got it. Okay, fair
enough. Okay, at a certain point in time, the cats were taken to Mexico and stayed with the respondent, because as the appellant testified, he was unable to keep the cats in the apartment that he was living in. Testimony was offered on behalf of the respondent, and that testimony was from Mr. Cruz, who stated that there was no prohibition on that, but I impeached him as to his credibility there as well. Furthermore, Judge Corey completely overlooked the testimony of the appellant's mother, with whom the parties were living with, and testified to the fact that she attempted to flee with the cats, but for her waking up her son, and he maintained the ownership interest in it. The reason that I started with the cats is because an annulment is such a strange case. There have been very, very few annulments to ever come before this court. And the factors that go into it all relate to whether or not someone has committed a fraud on the other person.
Are you claiming fraudulent inducement?
Actually, I am, Your Honor.
Okay. Well, let's talk about that, because I mean, first of all, it looks like they dated for almost 7 years before they got married, right?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And you're claiming that she just fraudulently induced him to marry her because she wanted to get her immigration rights through him.
She wanted to live in the United States, and I can't say that I blame her, Your Honor. I've lived in many other countries. I can't say that I blame her for wanting to live in the United States. He wasn't aware of that until much later.
He was aware that she wasn't, I mean, she didn't have immigration status, wasn't he?
He was aware that she was not a citizen after she lost the immigration trial, and he was aware that she needed to have her immigration status solidified.
And right before, I mean, they apparently moved in with his parents, and that's when the relationship started souring, right? Isn't that what the facts show?
I think the facts may show that.
Okay, and then they separated in the summer of 2018, and then he moved from Texas to Mexico to live with her family. So he came after her.
No, he never moved to Mexico. I understand. Well, I understand.
That's what it says. She moved there, but he came after her in the next few months because he came to Mexico and visited her there.
To visit,
and
yes, Your Honor.
They reconciled during that visit.
Yes, that
so
is
he
correct.
He was responsible for bringing her back, wasn't he?
It's not a question of bringing her back that we're claiming, Your Honor. I see that I'm out of time. May I continue?
Why don't you sum up your strongest argument?
Yes, Your Honor. So the record shows, I think you'll find that the record shows that there was no evidence that the cats were premarital property and that her pattern and practice, her behavior throughout this, created a situation whereby the district court should never have made any credibility determination, positive credibility determination on her fact. I ask that the court take the actions requested in my brief. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Mr. White. We will be issuing our decision within 90 days. That being our last oral argument of the day, we are adjourned.
All right.